folks, it's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. Glad that you're with us. We have an interesting guest today that Mike Costantino, who's sitting across me, set up. This is sort of your program. You and Klaus von Stutterheim's on the telephone line, right, Klaus?
Yes, yeah. We have Ann Shaw, our local contact here, I guess. Ann lives in Cottonwood. And we're going to talk about, here on Democratic Perspective, how could we not try to have, and certainly reminded me about the Friends Committee for National Legislation, and they have a Friends meeting in Sedona and certainly throughout Northern Arizona. The Friends are, a lot of people know, as the Quakers, and their history in the USA is fascinating. But this is an organization, the Friends Committee for National Legislation, FCNL. This is their model. Let me, Anne's on the line, but we're going to talk to her in a minute, but I want to read their motto, which they seek a world free of war and threat of war. We seek a society with equity and justice for all. We seek a community where every person's potential may be fulfilled. We seek an earth restored. That's like every show we've covered in the last 8 years on Democratic Perspective. I mean, all of those things, the environment, social justice, and certainly the wars that the USA as a warrior culture, seems to love to get involved in. So I did ask my students years ago, that did they see the USA as a warrior state, and of course they all said no, because we have a great propaganda machine, but I think certainly the this committee might see things a little differently. So good morning, Ann.
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I want to thank you for suggesting the show. It's a great idea. I know you were trying to get a presenter. Have you had any luck raising your presenter? And, of course, we're doing this with social distancing, so we're doing this over the phone. Have you had any luck getting your presenter?
No, I've had such a weird time with the phone. I thought I had his phone number, and I keep getting someone else. And so I asked him to call me, and apparently that's not working, but Tom Martin is a long time, he's a Sedona resident and a long time member of this group. I'm rather new to it. So I'm feeling a little on edge that I don't have his superior knowledge and background at the moment. But our effort this morning really is to raise awareness that this committee does exist and is going on, and the work is continuing. And people who would like to join us should find us and get on board, because we really are trying to lobby our representatives, our local representatives, our senators, our members of the House, who can influence legislation at the federal level to minimize continuing war. The Friends Committee is obviously and always has been against war. The effort toward minimizing violence and expanding peace in the world is of their foremost concern. But beyond that, they are concerned with all of the other social issues that feed into and lead to war.
Well, let's go ahead and set this up here at the beginning, that the FCNL, the Friends Committee for National Legislation, is a 501c3 organization. Tom Martin lives in Sedona. Ann Shaw lives in Cottonwood. So these are local people that are involved in this organization. I certainly have had acquaintances and friends over the years that have belonged to the Quakers in Sedona and Cottonwood. And this is a particular, let's call it the political branch of to try to affect the changes that the group stands for. It's ambitious. It's wonderful. It's great that there is a group of people that are committed to trying to get the kinds of things that certainly we've been trying to give shine light on and on here on Democratic Perspective for 8 years.
And the focus then is on national legislation. Many of us know there's another Quaker committee, that social committee that's based in Philadelphia, American Friends Service Committee. Are the groups connected, or are these separate Quaker organizations? I know that the committee you're part of is focused not on social action, but on legislation and getting national legislation through.
And separately. I have not been involved with the other group at all, nor have I heard it made mention of in the meetings that I've attended. Now, as I say, I'm relatively new to the organization. I've been meeting with the team, what was our local team, for about a year and a half. I don't have a depth of knowledge about all things Quaker. Tom and another woman who I have worked with on the team are Quakers. Actually, several people that I've worked with on the team are Quakers. I'm more of a friend of friends at this point. And so my depth of knowledge about the Quakers and the background there is limited. I'm definitely a supporter and a friend of theirs, but I'm not a Quaker myself.
So what are you trying to do, Ann, then on a local level? I mean, what's your focus? Mike knows more about the group than I do. To me, it's new. I didn't know that there was a local group like this, Mike.
Yeah, well, I think it's think locally or act locally, think globally is part of what these guys are all about. I'm still we're talking. I'm getting some information. Certainly, before the show, I kind of checked it out. They get their funding is the first place I look at, because we want to know who's funding them, and it's all through donations and part of the Quaker meetings. Raise money there. They operate on about $8 million. A year to try to do all the things that they do. I like that they call it peace building, diplomacy and peaceful prevention and resolution of violent conflict. And their emphasis is on the Middle East. And that's, I guess, if you got to choose a place to emphasize, there's lots of places in the world these days, but I'm sure people have been saying that for several thousand years. But they do concentrate on peace building in the Middle East. That's where diplomacy can be best applied.
Let me ask Anne a question. Anne, are you sponsoring specific legislation? In other words, are you sponsoring specific bills?
Yeah, I should kind of start at the beginning and explain how this is organized and what it is that we do. We are a local group, that's true, but what we do is monthly we meet. This has always been a phone meeting. The last couple of meetings have turned into Zoom meetings, which is interesting, but there are local teams all over the country and new teams being established to push for legislation that, you know, gets us closer to peace. Last year, our big push was to write letters and to do lobby visits and encourage our representatives to vote to repeal the 2001 and 2002 authorizations for the use of military force. The reason for that being that it's possible for the executive branch to invoke those once again. They were the things that gave power to George W. Bush's administration to go ahead and wage war in the event that that was necessary. Congress had approved that. But these things are still kind of hanging out there. Recently, the Trump administration is using the 2002 AUMF to say, well, because these terrorists are in Iraq, the 2002 AUMF is specific to waging war in Iraq. Well, we can use that, though, because there are terrorists coming from Iraq, and Iran is supporting them, so we can go to war with Iran. And we don't have to have Congress's approval. So what this year, of course, then naturally this year, the push is to support the legislation that has been brought forward in Congress and actually was approved by the House and the Senate and the bill was sent to Trump recently, and of course he vetoed it. But there is legislation out there to try to prevent war with Iran. So that's what all of the teams across the country, even though ours is a local team and right now it's kind of small, we have some members who are kind of still with us, but they're really just pushing to get Trump out of office.
Well, yeah.
This is the main thrust of what they're doing right now locally, but they're still kind of with us. But Tom and I are trying to bring focus back and get more people together, because part of the Quaker idea is that we are fellowshipping together as we meet together. We sit and listen to the call together, and then we can talk about what our plan is. Now, these teams come from all over the country. I listen to people on calls who are, from all over the place. They're all over the country. And are meeting together personally, but collectively meeting over the phone and now over Zoom. So that's what we're doing.
Do you have any allies in Congress?
There are many. And there are many other people who are working in Washington who support this. They support FCNL. They just sort of heap praise on these phone calls. They meet with us and share information and just are very praiseworthy of the work that FCNL does. Basically, the first things I learned to do were to try to focus on the proper way to lobby. It's not to go scream in your representative's face your big fat opinion. Nobody's going to listen to that. You have to be able to bring it down to the personal level and share your personal story. Why are you concerned about this? How has this affected you? And it is these personal stories that sort of reach into the psyche so that our representatives can understand what we're feeling about it and why are we persuasive in this way. So we write letters to the editor. We write letters to our senators and representatives. We go to lobby them personally. And so these are the structures. And within FCNL, there's certainly training and tools that you can draw on to learn how to be an effective lobbyist.
And the things you're lobbying for certainly are those things that we most care about. We're talking about reducing military spending. We've been talking about,
yes.
Some of us have been talking about a peace dividend our whole life. And, the U.S. spends more on military than the next 19 countries combined. Nuclear disarmament, the big one is a non-proliferation is a major item for the Friends Committee on National Legislation. Mass incarceration, a topic we've done a dozen shows on, because it is such a big thing in Arizona. we're talking about that. Where the Friends Committee surfaced a little bit was during, it's not over, but with the separation of families, locking the children up, the Trump administration locking children in cages. When this became USA policy, the Friends stepped up and have been working constantly since it started to try to change that and try to keep information flowing. Income inequality, Native American issues, and climate disruption, you guys call it. I kind of like that. Let me read it word for word. It says, advocate for sustainable solutions to climate disruption, including reducing fossil fuel use, increasing renewable energy, strengthening environmental protections, and promoting international cooperation. Now, you guys do have an $8 million budget, which is nothing to sneeze at. It certainly beats the heck out of my $50 that I send to a candidate once in a while. So you can get some attention and really do some things.
Right. It does. What is being done through FCNL really is working. And the committee has been around for more than 75 years. So this is not a new, you know, we just incorporated last week or something.
Right.
You know, it has nothing to do with the 2020 campaign. It has to do with FCNL was really formed as World War II was coming to a close. And so, you know, this is a long and sustained history of campaigning and lobbying for peace, for everything, for including the environment, you know, finding peaceable solutions and ways to make the world a better place are at the forefront of this committee's thinking and the thinking of the other more social committee as well.
Let me get the funding sources right, because I'm sure if Tom was here, he'd want me to do that. The education fund of the Friends Committee is a 501c3 organization. The Friends Committee on National Legislation itself is a 501c4 civic organization, which can lobby Congress and do political activities. There are some legal things in there that we want to, that I'm sure he'd want me to make clear. So part of it is 501c3 nonprofit, and has a set of functions, and part of it is 501c4 and clearly political, because that's what it's for.
Let me ask you, Ann, you were talking about these telephone calls. Are they national? Are you on a national Friends call? Or is it a local group? Does the local group meet only on the telephone, or how does this work?
No, the local group meets in person to listen to the national call. The national calls come out of Washington, so many of the people who come to speak, it's an hour-long call once a week on the first Wednesday, and it's Eastern Standard Time. It would be 8 o'clock, so here it's at 5 o'clock on Wednesday. And so we have a call coming up on this Wednesday, 2 days from now. What we do is gather together as a local group. We sit and listen to the call, listen to the speakers, listen to the information being given. It's always very upbeat. People are calling in to share sometimes little triumphs, things that have you know, editors, letters to the editor that have been published, or something good that has happened. They also express their frustrations with recalcitrant representatives who say they're going to do one thing and then do another, or just ignore it, or, you know, some areas have really wonderful and very accessible representatives, and other places don't. But the continuous campaign is taking place essentially out of Washington. That's where the calls come from. And so many of the speakers brought in. The last call was a Zoom call. We did a Zoom meeting, actually, and talked to Jim McGovern. And most of the people who are, you know, who agree to do this with FCNL are very supportive and very, very emphatically happy to have the support of FCNL because they feel that the work that the committee does is of great value.
So where do you gather, Anne? Where do you gather in the Congress? Suppose people want to join. I guess Michael asked you to give this information later, but even for right now, tell us a little bit more how it works. How do people contact you if they want to participate in these national telephone calls with a group in the Verde Valley?
Well, you know, the information, initially the information that I got came through the Yavapai, I don't know what we're calling ourselves, sorry, the Verde Valley Democrats, where we meet at Red Rooster. I found information there and went to a meeting at the library. Now, the leader of our group was Lori Rubenstein, and so we used to meet at Lori's house. But Lori and her husband have grandchildren over in Vegas, and they have moved over there. So I'm still in touch with Lori, but I can't meet with her personally anymore. But we would just gather at someone's home at an agreed place and sit and listen to the call together and then, you know, kind of talk about what our plan would be after that.
So if our listeners are interested in participating in this, Anne, what should they do? Contact you? What can they do? Otherwise, it's amorphous. They won't know what to do or how to participate.
So let me answer the question. I'm sorry. I was just clarifying what we normally do. But in this period of time, of course, we're not meeting personally anymore. We're just going on the Zoom call. But the way to contact us, I just set up a Facebook page, and it's under Verde Valley Advocacy Team on Facebook. So if you just go to @VVAdvocacyTeam, the information is there. There's information about how to connect to the larger group, to FCNL, and there's also the means to email me. I don't have a great way to communicate by phone with people or just take phone calls, but I can certainly find emails, and if people want more information about it, I have that information. I've also posted it on the Facebook page. So again, it's Verde Valley Advocacy Team.
Very good. Verde Valley Advocacy Group. There's, as Anne said, there's other ways. The national website is just fcnl.org, fcnl.org, can find, you can find out all kinds of information. And if you go there today, you will find a great big message about a national day of prayer, which is today at noon for the COVID-19 sufferers and deaths. The 100,000 American deaths, the 365,000 worldwide deaths due to this pandemic, and on the Friends Committee for National Legislation website, they're calling for a National Day of Prayer on June 1st. That's today at noon. A period of silence to remember those who died. We want to wonder what that terrible sound is.
Hang on.
Somebody hung up. I can't tell
who.
Okay.
Anne, are you there?
All right.
Wait a minute. Klaus, are you there?
Terrible sound with you.
There she is. Okay.
Okay.
We lost you for a minute, Anne. It's okay. We lost you for a minute.
It's not me.
Okay.
All right.
I don't think it's me.
It sounds like you're still there.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
we can hear you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was just talking about the National Day of Prayer today, June 1st, at noon. Many people, including me, believe in this sort of collective action that that whether you want to call it and quantum theory backs me up here, that this sort of attention paid to something can move things, can change things. So whether you want to call it prayer, whether I want to call it anger jumping up and down in my backyard.
Next week, Mike will explain quantum physics.
We will explain.
Oh, I'll help. I'll join.
Yeah.
I think it should be interesting.
A good friend of mine.
All right, so the day of prayer is today at noon.
Day of prayer is today
Eastern
at noon.
Standard time.
And they did pick a specific time. And if you're not really into prayer, a little moment of silence, and that's why I brought up the quantum thing. We're talking about attention. You're paying attention to the problem. If we're going to do now, a sign of intelligence is divergent thinking. So we're going to diverge a little bit, and I'm going to tell you the name of my favorite book. Reality is not what it seems is written by some Italian guy. It's very, very good. Reality is not what it seems. Carlo Rovelli, all about modern quantum physics, if you want to call it that.
You heard it first here on Democratic Perspective.
Well, no, it's a layman's terms of how to look at the world and things. Yes, maybe we'll do a show on it because we can, and I can hear the radios clicking off all over the Verde Valley and the opening credits as I talk about it.
So I think we understand. And what motivated you to get involved in this particular organization rather than another organization? What do you particularly like about the way they do things or their focus?
Well, my history is that I'm a teacher, as Mike knows. I'm a teacher. I was the director of New Visions Academy up until the time of its closure. And in the course of talking with staff and trying to diagnose what are the problems, what are the issues that lead to bullying and violence and, you know, some of these problems that we were focusing on with students and trying to solve, it occurred to me at least, and others shared the opinion, that if we actively taught peace, perhaps it would sink in. Perhaps we would have an opportunity for that. So in point of fact, I have actually created, I have a corporation called Add to Peace that I'm trying to develop curriculum for so that I can disseminate lessons in schools about the possibility of peace and how it can be kept and revered rather than treated as something subversive. I thought it's time for a new peace movement outside of the old, you know, I'm kind of an old hippie, certainly a believer in peace, and, you know, too many people, there are still plenty of people around who consider that to be some, you know, those dirty hippies and wanting peace. That's just un-American to them. But everyone wants peace.
I think it's still a controversial word, Anne. The word peace, when you hear the word peace, the person who talks about peace is immediately sort of suspect, where if somebody talks about the need to fight or have a war, they seem like they're good guys right from the start. But if you start talking about peace, people go, well, I don't know, you know, who is
you're
this
wimpy.
Person? Yeah.
Don't forget, through the website, you can enter your email address and get all sorts of information about activities, both local and statewide and national. I do want to mention Diane Randall is the general secretary. I always like to know, this is Democratic Perspective, it's what we do. We want to see who's behind things and what the truth is, as near as we can determine it. And Diane Randall is the executive secretary of Friends Committee on Legislation. She has her a picture and her contact information on the website. You might want to check that out. The website acts as a blog for almost all the topics of the day, and at least through the Friends Committee perspective, which is certainly a little less angry, maybe, and a little bit more peaceful than you get on from me and and maybe other places. So you might want to check it out. There's some good thought there, some good writers showing up on the Friends Committee for National Legislation webpage and the blog. One of the things I like is they recognize how unequal, and they discuss it on the page, how unequal the COVID-19 has been, that it certainly attacks certain groups with more vigor and with more deadly results than others. And so they've been, and so to that end, they put their efforts toward those groups that have been most affected.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. Is there a web page too, Ann, as well as a Facebook page as well as a web page for the organization?
The website really is the place to go for them, rather than trying to access them on Facebook. The website is very extensive. It's got so much available that's really where you want to go. And I did post that on our local Facebook page. So right now I'm just trying to get people to look at this brand new local Facebook page and like us, you know, just give us a like. I'm just trying to reach out and get people on board here locally. But the larger group is the place to go. FCNL.org has everything you want to know. And it's an amazing organization. And I've just been so impressed with the ability and willingness of this organization to reach out to people in, yes, as Mike says, a peaceful way. They're not out there with a bludgeon. They're making the ask. They're asking, you know, and that's what they are teaching people to do, how to lobby and how to ask your representatives for whatever it is that's on the agenda. And as I say, right now, in this moment, it is the prevention of war with Iran. This is our single issue. We don't, as a group, try to address 10,000 different problems. We focus on one issue each year and try to lobby collectively to get one thing done. And this year, that is to prevent war with Iran. Because obviously this administration has been pulling the legs out, the rug out from under the legislation and the accords that have the treaty with Iran that was working. The Trump administration has gone in and done away with that and then can use it as an excuse for war. Meanwhile, we're levying sanctions against them that are strangling their economy. But that's okay, because we're the United States and we're entitled to treat people.
I think Americans never see what we do to other countries that provokes these reactions. People are not looking at the economic war aimed at destroying Iran and seeing Iran's response in terms of what we're doing to them. I think this is a general problem in American history. We don't see, you know, we interfere in other people's internal affairs and we don't understand why people would get mad at us. Yeah. We invade them and we don't understand why, you know, the entire Vietnamese population practically, you know, gets up in arms against us. We don't ever see that, Mike. Go ahead.
Right. And we don't. We're sold a bill. We're sold our wars. We're sold the exceptionality of the United States through the media, just like we're sold a box of Tide. I mean, it's all we buy into an image of the USA that isn't anywhere near accurate. The saber rattling, again, as Ann said, they were, the Friends Committee was focusing on war with Iran because it was Trump's reelection strategy. He somebody told him, or he heard once somewhere, that you can't not reelect a wartime president. So he was going to become a wartime president by starting a war. It was very clear. Everybody saw it. He didn't realize that the world would see it so clearly and that it had so many repercussions. So I think, at least for the moment, there's so much else going on.
Yeah, I would agree with Mike that he's backed off the sort of planned war.
As far as we know.
Trump always needs an enemy, and so it's very hard to understand. You know, I mean, some of the things he said about China and the virus might actually be true. The problem is he's so violently angry and he needs China as an enemy that it's hard to, and we'll ask, we're going to do a program on this. It's hard to figure out what is true and what's not, because he's always using it to feather his own cap.
That's exactly.
Yeah. And our policy is to be angry at anybody who's actually making money, because apparently the Chinese are supposed to live in squalor and produce our junk to sell at Walmart, and if they don't like it, well then we're mad at them because they're enriching themselves in some way. And how are they entitled to do that? We want to know.
Well, and the thing is,
you know, it's so bizarre, because we really should have a pretty good relationship with China by now. Yes, they are a communist country, but so is Russia. And what do we have going on with them except, you know, Donald Trump's love and friendship for Vladimir Putin?
I think the problem with China is, or the thing that we never seem to deal with well is, and we didn't deal with it well with Russia, is that China's a rising power in the world. It is, has a huge population. I believe, Mike, does it have the second largest economy in the world now, or third largest, something like that. It's absolutely massive. It has a large armed forces, has a very authoritarian, totalitarian organization, but a very effective army and military and so forth and so on. It's going to rise in power. There's no way to completely prevent that. So the question for something like China or Russia is, how do you deal with countries that have problems, that are antagonistic in some ways to the U.S.? How do you deal with the fact that they're going to exist? I mean, Iran is going to exist. It's a large country, I think about 60, not a medium-sized country, 60 million people or so. You're not going to get rid of Iran. I mean, all you're doing with a lot of this stuff is undercutting the liberal, progressive, and young people factions in Iran. And so how do you adjust to the fact that you're going to have people who are going to compete with you and who are going to do things you don't like? How do you manage that? And Trump's solution is always fury and anger and retaliation, but that's not going to make China go away.
Well, this organization was certainly it's great in the time of Trump. It is a balance. If nothing else, we want to promote the Friends Committee on National Legislation on a show like Democratic Perspective. We want to get local people. They have one convert right here. I'm going to look into this. I'm not a terribly religious man, but I do believe in everything that this organization stands for. I wish they had an $80 million budget. I'm sorry, Ann, go ahead.
I'm just agreeing with you. Sorry.
Oh, no.
I'm not accustomed to radio. I'm just chiming in my absolutely. Everything that FCNL does and stands for is something good. There just isn't really, you're not going to jump in there and find a lot of fault in what they're doing or the way that they're managing things. You know, there's no undercurrent of ugliness to find here. It's a great organization. They are who they say they are, And joining together with local groups to lobby for something is obvious and transparent. There's no hidden agenda to this. It simply is what it says it is. And that's why I wanted to be a part of it. I want to lobby for peace. I want us to stop having war. I think war is an absurdity. I think it always was. And I certainly think it is when we are this far into a nuclear age. This has to stop. We have to stop it. We have to come to consciousness and move forward. We can't allow ourselves to simply be in under our heads, over our heads in military spending, in needless, endless wars. We don't have that right, in my opinion. We do not have the right to go into sovereign nations and tell them how to live. We can execute all kinds of diplomacy on that behalf and try to influence how they do things, but we don't have the right to go to war with them, and this has got to cease.
One of the things I love about this is that they haven't forgotten Syria. The Friends Committee on National Legislation, the organization we're talking about this morning, hasn't forgotten Syria, and they are war is still raging in Syria, except the Trump crap show dominates every bit of United States news. But as a United States organization, the Friends Committee on National Legislation is still trying to get peace in Syria and cares and is trying to do what it can for the refugees that the war is still creating over there. You talk about ending war. The war in Syria has created, it's not a competition. Which war has created the most devastation and refugees and horror, but certainly the war in Syria is in competition with the worst.
I think you're exactly right, Mike and Ann, is that there has to be an organization or organizations, lots of organizations, that maintain a continuity and a focus on these issues when we have this crazy Trump thing running around that takes up all the oxygen in the room. Mike, we've got 2 minutes left.
Yeah, man. Yeah. One of the things I like on their website, it says, love thy neighbor, no exceptions. Love thy neighbor, except Syrians, or love thy neighbor, except Guatemalans. You know, no. This, or except African Americans. No exceptions. So, Ann Shaw has been our guest this morning. Tom Martin will reschedule another day as far as information on the Friends Committee for National Legislation. Yeah, the Quakers are active. They have a budget, and they have a lobbying arm. And the name I keep repeating is the lobbying arm, I guess you could say, of the Quakers, although they might not want me to put it that way. We only got a minute or so left. You can find this show. If there's some information, you can find the show on bvid.org. And can we send you? We'll send you MP3 of the show, and you'll see what you can do to get it up on your national website, right?
Very good, thank you. Yes,
okay.
I will.
Okay, we will send you an MP3 of the show, and you can find it hopefully also on the Friends Committee for Legislation, at least a link to it. And certainly their Facebook page. They do have a Facebook page. If Facebook is your medium, the Friends Committee for Legislation has a great Facebook page. And as Ann said, you could like it there. You could. It is a portal to the organization. The website is also very, very good. Don't forget, our shows and Democratic Perspective shows up on BVID, Verde Valley Independent Democrats.org. We have a website. We have a wonderful summary and our archive of shows. See you next week, folks. Democratic Perspective. See you soon.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.